Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Primetime on Conference Championship Week.
There goes Barkley into the clear, through the snow, all the way home.
This is a Conference Championship Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit SmartlineHomeDesign.com.
Isaac and Sue on 1080.
And this one might send them to the championship game.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back. What are you guys doing out there?
What is freaking Panthers?
We were sports and then we were TVN too.
Yeah, we're TVN. We're talking about American Primeval, which is on Netflix.
That's the latest that I just started watching. I'm a couple episodes in.
Yeah,
and,
you know.
And it just made me realize once again that there is no worse time to be alive, especially if you're a woman, than just in the Old West. Like mid-1800s going across the plains. You don't want to be there, especially if you're a gal.
Yeah, and then the men are just all killing each other.
Yeah.
Out of fear.
And just the sanitary condition. It's just all bad. Yeah. It's just
at least
terrible.
They had some booze.
I don't even think it was good booze.
No, that's
no,
true.
No, it's just, this is bad.
So
it's
dirty.
All bad.
Well, anyway, we're at Wednesday.
We love our Wednesdays.
Oh, God!
So now we can get back to some of the weekend football action we've yet to cover.
Oh, yeah.
Your Lions getting squashed by the Commanders.
Yeah, I called that once again. That was God. The Scooby-Doo game where Jared Goff ripped off his mask, and it was me all along!
Yeah,
Scooby-Doo ghost penis mystery.
They gave up, well, one was a pick six, right?
One was a pick six.
Okay, so they gave up 45. So they gave up, oh, my God, can I do math? 38.
Yeah, but how many of those touchdowns came on short fields because of five turnovers? Look, the defense, when their starting cornerback got hurt, like in the first series, finally the dam just broke. Did you also, I was looking into some of the analytics on this. They did not record a single pressure with a four-man rush.
Oof.
The entire game.
Wow.
And so Aaron Glenn, once their corner goes out, they're effed. And so they just started blitzing. Do you know who the best quarterback in the NFL this year against the blitz was?
Exactly.
Jaden Daniels.
Well, that's why I was saying about last week with the, or not last week, but 2 weeks ago with the Vikings game, we talked about this.
Yeah.
The Lions, Aaron Glenn's getting all these accolades and they get the number one seed because they make Sam Darnold look like Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do that to good quarterbacks.
No.
You can't do, and I know Sam Darnold had a good year, but the guys like Jaden Daniels and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, and these guys will kill you. And even though Jaden Daniels is a rookie, he's got that skill set. So that was going to be a bad matchup for the Lions because they have 16 guys on the IR.
Yep.
I mean, they're all hurt.
And then
and so it was disguised in the Minnesota game, so we kind of lost sight of that. But the reality was the Lions weren't going to the Super Bowl because their defense was way too banged up.
Yeah.
And Jaden Daniels just ripped that Band-Aid off a little earlier than some expected.
Yes.
That's really what it was. And look, I get it, five turnovers. Goff looked terrible. Give Washington's defense some credit. But because the Lions' offense did not look good, and that's as worse as they've looked, or as bad as they've looked in weeks.
They did have five turnovers and score 31 points.
They did.
They're also the first playoff team ever to rush for 200 yards, throw for 300 yards, and lose.
Yeah, like, no, their offense is awesome, but at times they did not look like the Lions' offense we're used to seeing. And so that I just give a lot of credit to Washington. But really, that game was about the Detroit. The Detroit defense was not going to allow them to win that game.
No.
They could not stop Washington.
They were upset, but the Lions were up 7-3, and they were deep inside Washington territory, I want to say, at about the 20, getting ready to go up 14-3. The fumble happens. Goff gets his head lit up. I still can't believe
he came back. Oh, that was great.
I can't believe he came back in the game, and I still wonder if maybe everything was all there.
Can I just say that I love it when quarterbacks get lit up like that?
Oh, my goodness, that was bad.
Because he was just a blocker.
Yep.
So,
and he got drilled.
It was still helmet to helmet, right? I mean,
don't they teach quarterbacks to not? Like, dude, you can't.
Yeah,
what are you going to do? It's on the 5-yard line. Get out of the way.
Just curl into a ball, man. That thing is over. And then
the dam burst. Make a tackle?
When Amik Robinson got hurt in that first series, the dam burst for Detroit, and they could not. You're right. 16 players on IR on the defensive side of the ball. When your corner finally went down, another corner. You didn't record a single pressure rushing force. Then you started blitzing, and you can't blitz Jaden Daniels. And he just had
no chance.
He had a hell of a game. And at that point, you were in a shootout.
Yep.
And look, despite all the crap that was going on in that, it was 24-21 at one point. And you're like, all right, the Lions have stabilized. They just need to stop. And then I give Quinn credit, because for all of Dan Campbell going for it on fourth down, Dan Quinn was like, hey, watch this. They're the best fourth down team in the NFL, the Commanders are. And they kept going for it, and they kept getting it. And then, of course, then the turnovers just happened. And it finally just it killed him. I thought that was going to be a bad matchup for Washington with the Detroit offense. I thought Detroit was going to be able to score 40, and they would have had they not turned it over five times. I just didn't think that the Lions defense would be that much of a sieve, and they offered no resistance whatsoever. Well, and now if you're Detroit,
it was predictable though.
It's scary in that.
Yeah, it's the shine will come off of Dan Campbell.
You've lost both
next year.
You've lost both coordinators.
And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
You have a bunch of money tied into a quarterback, and this is where I'll give you credit, because I am of the ilk that you can win with good quarterback play. You can. And I think obviously you won 15 games and got the number one seed.
What do you mean good? Of course you can win with. What do you mean?
Here's the difference, and that you talk about this. In that game, you saw the difference between good quarterback play and star quarterback play.
Yeah, yeah. And Goff's not that.
He's not.
He's just not it.
He's a very good quarterback. He is a rock-solid quarterback.
Does he go in the Baker Mayfield?
I think he's the best version of that.
Who else do we put Mayfield.
Mayfield's in there. Geno's in there. Smith. You know, Darnold had one of these.
That's a little unfair to Goff. I mean, Goff's played in a Super Bowl.
Yes.
He's put up some big numbers.
Yeah. But that's why I said he's the best.
He is the best. I trust him way more than Baker.
Yes, but he is that.
But he's not.
He's not. He is
the
not.
He's truly, not the Stafford.
No, he is not. He is not truly elite. He is one of those guys that can take you a long way. And I still think you can win with players like that. We've seen teams win Super Bowls, but he is not a guy that is going to single-handedly elevate you. He has to play in a system. And look, everyone plays in a system, but you saw this playoff run. Jaden Daniels just kind of do the, I'm the best player on the field and I am going to will my team. And Detroit can't do that. And you saw the difference between good quarterback play and what is ascending star quarterback play. And ultimately, five turnovers, and one of those wasn't his fault. One of those was you ran the end round sweep and threw the ball with Williams, which, I mean, at that point, I guess, take your shot. But that's what elite quarterback does, is he wrecks your game plan, and Jaden Daniels right now is a destroyer of defenses.
The other thing I don't like about Goff is he's just a statue.
Yes.
And if you're going to have a statue back there, it needs to be Tom Brady. It can't be Goff. Like, I mean, it's just a dying archetype. It's a dying breed.
He has not played that game in 3 years in Detroit, and you played it against a very middle of the road defense. It's not shocking that Daniels lit up Detroit. It is shocking to me that the most potent offense since the Peyton Manning Denver Broncos was undone by, no offense, but a very, very average Commanders defense. That was shocking.
How many quarterbacks do we have left besides Stafford and Goff who are true statues? Like they don't, I mean, I get it. A lot of guys don't run. Like even Rodgers.
Yeah.
Rodgers doesn't run, and but he can.
Herbert can run, but he's more of a stationary guy.
What about Burrow?
But he can move. I'm talking about guys that can move, at least move and get a first down if they need to, or, you know, they're still pocket guys.
Yeah.
So Burrow is one. Yeah, that's a good one.
He doesn't move around very much.
Burrow, Goff, Stafford. So there are a few, but it's just not.
But not many.
Burrow's
a little more slippery than you give him credit for.
That's right.
Cousins, who's getting phased out right now.
Cousins can't move. He is the definition, especially since injury. He's not going anywhere.
But don't you think all these quarterbacks now, the young guys, they all have at least a little leg game in them.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. If you are playing with a statue quarterback.
Does May? I didn't watch a lot of May.
No, he moves.
He can run a little bit.
Moves,
he
moves.
Yeah, he can pick up a first down with his legs.
If you are playing with a true stationary quarterback, I'm not going to say you're playing with one hand tied behind your back.
Well, you need Tom Brady.
But there is a, yes, there is a massive component to your game that is being ignored. And yes, if you are going to do that, you better be Peyton Manning. You better be Tom Brady. Because when you look at the ability to pick up third downs, the ability when it's man coverage for you to just take off and run, it can be the ultimate X factor. It really can, especially against elite defenses. When they know where you're going to be, you can really heat it up. And you saw it. And Goff flamed out.
That's the thing I don't like about Goff.
Yeah.
Like if he had just a few more wheels, I could live with, you know, him not being elite.
That game still baffles me of how bad he looked. That doesn't happen to him in Detroit. And here's another one that I give you credit for. You talk about this all the time.
Look at me.
I'm giving you credit for this because you do bring this up a lot. And I said it. I said I would be very interested. The bye week.
Oh.
What was Ben Johnson doing?
Yeah, right. Talking to other teams.
Ben Johnson was talking to other teams, and Aaron Glenn was talking to other teams. Both those guys did interviews, and I'm not trying to lay this at anyone's feet.
Belichick said
it's impossible to fully keep your eye on the ball.
And
it just is.
And when you look at a defense that has had to piece it together all year, and yes, when another starting corner goes out, I get it. That was the one that broke your back, but you had a piss poor plan to battle that Washington defense, and you ended up falling into the trap of doing what Jaden Daniels is the best at, which is just throwing all kinds of blitzes at him, and that didn't work, and you never had a plan to slow him down. And then on the offensive side of things, your protection, I get it, Zeitler was out, your best guard, but you were running the ball for 10 yards a clip.
Oh, Gibbs couldn't be stopped.
He couldn't be stopped. And you get down there, and all of a sudden you start trying to throw. You were down 10 in the third quarter, and your offense was humming, and you decide to run some jackass receiver triple trick play. And I do have to ask the question, because we see it all the time. Was Aaron Glenn and was Ben Johnson's head up their ass getting ready for that game, thinking that, hey, we're at home, it's the Commanders, they're not that scary a team. And let's be honest, both of those guys knew where their job was going to be. And it sure as hell wasn't going to be in Detroit.
I also wonder if the Detroit locker room, deep down, Dan Campbell kept that thing together.
Yeah.
But I think deep down, you know, those guys knew that they weren't doing much with all the injuries.
Could be.
And they just knew it.
Yeah.
And then they got two coordinators with one foot out the door, and it's a fractured. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe in hindsight, we should have seen that coming.
I thought about that Rob theory this week with Joe Brady and the Buffalo Bills. Are they going to lay an egg? You know, I mean, not.
Yeah.
Chiefs are a tough defense, but it's got me thinking this week.
So, yeah, Belichick talked about this recently on a podcast, and I'm surprised more coaches don't talk about this. He's the only one I've heard that actually mentions this. He said, if this were players preparing for a conference championship game, we would go crazy.
Yes.
If they're talking to other teams.
Oh, crucify them.
Exactly. And he said, I don't know why it's so okay. It's okay for coaches. He said they need to change the system and just let guys coach in the playoffs and then open the window for coaching changes, because it really is, Belichick said it. He's lost coordinator after coordinator, right?
Yep.
He lost Patricia. He lost McDaniels. Who else did he lose over the years?
Oh, so many guys. I mean, a bunch of those guys went on. Romeo Crennel.
Vrabel.
Vrabel and Patricia and
he knows better than anybody. And he called it out, so I thought that was good that he did.
Well, and there are people in the Packers organization that will swear to high heaven. I know his name is revered in football, but there are people in Green Bay high up that are connected that swear that the Packers losing to the Denver Broncos in that Super Bowl was predicated on Mike Holmgren negotiating with the Seattle Seahawks to take that job. And Mike was not laser focused on that. And when you're at that level, little things make a big difference. And I just think it's interesting that Detroit played hands down the worst game we've seen them play in 2 years against let's be honest, not an elite Washington team, and you got run out of your own building?
Crazy.
I find that interesting.
Very uncharacteristic. Yeah, the score was 7-3, and then we had 6 straight touchdowns.
Yeah.
You don't often see that. Nope. And by the way, so much for the NFC North. My God. Oh, what a great division. They went 0-3.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Straight up and against the spread.
I know.
Losers.
I don't know. Some of them may have had some money on the Lions. All right.
Did you lose?
Yeah, I did.
All right. Well, I pushed, luckily, on the Eagles game. Mm-hmm. Because it fell on 6 and not 7, because it ended up being 7. I got it at 6, but I was pissed because of that stupid effing kicker missing 2 extra points. At any rate, I almost lost money on the Eagles. Did not. We'll talk about that game. That's the last one we have to wrap up in our NFL Weekend Wonder Bread next on The Fan. All right, last game. We're still wrapping up the weekend. It's Wednesday, and we haven't even finished all the games yet. It's unbelievable.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I know. Well, the Eagles and the Rams.
Yeah.
We didn't get to that one. But, you know, what's left to say? Saquon Barkley, 4 rushing touchdowns of 60 or more yards against the Rams this year. Mm. Isn't that crazy?
That is kind of insane.
So he played the Rams twice. He has 4 rushing tutties of 60-plus yards against them in the same season. Yeah. No player has ever done that in a career against another team, including the playoffs, and he did it in 2 games.
Well, I mean, if I told you that Jalen Hurts was going to throw for 128 yards and no touchdowns, the Eagles lose, but
I don't know about that. I might have said, because they're built on running and playing defense.
But 26 carries, 205, 8 yards a pop, 2 touchdowns.
Can he carry them to the Super Bowl? Because Hurts' knee now?
Hurts' knee, I don't know. I'm very interested, because Jane Daniels and the Commanders are a great story, but they're not a great team. They're just not. But their passing offense in Philadelphia is wonky at best. And I think Hurts is seriously dinged up. I mean, that knee is not good. Do I think he can carry him? Yeah, because I don't think there's an elite team on the other side of things. And Saquon Barkley at this point.
Well, their defense.
Yeah, and the defense.
You know.
I think that is going to be I think that is going to be a really, really interesting game. And they split, by the way. They split the regular season. I mean, I just go back to that. The Rams were better than Philadelphia minus like 5 plays. That was it.
Yeah, Rams are tough, but they screwed it up.
Yeah.
They fumbled a couple times and
Didn't
quite punch it in at the end. I mean, Rams are just good.
If you're the Rams,
but the Eagles,
you're going to look at that and simply say the dumb fumbles.
Yeah.
And then how on earth do you leave Jalen Carter unblocked on the most important down of the game?
I just think the Eagles, you know, for all this, and we have been at the forefront of the Nick Sirianni hate.
Yeah.
They're pretty trustworthy.
Yeah.
The Eagles. I mean, they really do a good job, like we were talking about yesterday, of they're one of those teams that doesn't lose it.
Nope.
The Bills did not lose it against the Ravens, right?
Yep.
Survive in advance. They weren't great. The Ravens lost it.
Yeah.
The Chiefs always let their opponent... put it this way. The Chiefs don't lose games.
Mm-hmm.
They make you beat them, and oftentimes the other team makes too many mistakes and they just win. That's what Buffalo did last weekend. That's what Kansas City does a lot. It's kind of what the Eagles do. You got to give Sirianni a little credit for this. They have a real problem at quarterback.
Yeah.
But all they do is keep winning, and they run the ball well, even when everybody knows it's coming, and they play kick-ass defense.
Yeah.
They're just, I don't know, Philly is a, they're, that's a weird
team. It is, because I don't know what to make of them. And
they just have a great roster.
Yes.
And they're really well coached, and they don't beat themselves.
No. And
because as bad as Hurts is, he does not turn it over.
Think of it. If Saquon Barkley isn't there, I think this is like a 9-win team. And yet, with Saquon Barkley...
Well, their offensive line is really good.
Their offensive line is really good, and Saquon Barkley is just... He absolutely carries it. I don't know with the way they throw the ball. You would think eventually it's going to catch up to him, and it should have against the Rams. Again, they just blocked Jalen Carter. That final play where the tight end is coming over the middle, it's a 6-point lead. And granted, you would have had to kick the extra point. You got a tight end wide open in the middle of the field. It's a walk-in touchdown. You're kicking an extra point to win the game. The right guard and center double team Jalen Carter, and then I'm telling you, watch the play. They both just leave him instantaneously. They both are like, "Nah, we don't want to block him," and then he just swallows him up. So it's like, if I don't want to take credit away from Philadelphia, but if you just get one of your old linemen to not put his head in, you know where. We're not talking about Philly. We're talking about the Rams. And so I keep wanting to say that the luck is going to run out for Philadelphia, even though it's not luck. I get it. They play a disciplined, you know, brand of ball, and they play good defense, and they run it. I just don't know if Wash, at the same time, it's a rookie quarterback with a very, very incomplete roster. And it's hard for me to think that that roster is going to be the one to finally knock off Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I struggle to think that.
I do too. I think
But with Hurts' knee, like, at least you have the threat of throwing the football. If he's limited and he's limping around out there, do you just see 9-man boxes, or do you eventually do you have to go to a backup? Because he is not healthy.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, we're talking about Philly. I feel like they fall into the same category as Kansas City and Buffalo in that maybe we just focus on the wrong things. Like, the most dynamic team in the whole playoffs was Baltimore, and they're gone. Right? Yeah. So maybe we just focus on the wrong things, and the things that Philly and Kansas City, and to some extent this year Buffalo, are doing, it's just more trustworthy.
Yeah.
It just travels, right? Yeah. Even though those two of them are playing at home.
Defense,
you know what I mean?
Running the ball.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they do. They have really, really strong line play. They run the football, and their quarterback does not turn it over.
Yeah.
You do those three things, you're running half these teams out of the playoffs.
Yep.
And then you have elite coordinators. You have Vic Fangio, you have Spagnuolo. I don't know who the Buffalo defensive coordinator is.
I think it's McDermott took it over. I think he calls the defensive plays.
Does he?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I know they have a defensive coordinator, but I believe McDermott calls the plays.
I don't know about you, and we can talk
Bobby
about this.
Bobby
Babich, yeah. Bobby!
I don't know who that is. I don't know about you, but we'll talk more about this leading up to the game, but do you trust Buffalo's defense like you do Kansas City's and Philly's? See, this is what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. What I'm getting at is, it seems like a collision course between Philly and Kansas City, and that is super lame and boring. But at the same time, all they do is win.
Yeah.
I mean, Philly has only lost one game since like week 4.
Yeah,
do you know
They just win.
All they do is win. They're like Kansas City.
They've won like 11 of 12, and Kansas City going back has won like 21 of 22.
Yes.
And you know who they both lost to? Teams they're playing this week.
Yeah, that's right.
Washington and Buffalo.
In the Washington game, they lost because Jalen Hurts got hurt.
Yeah.
They beat him the first time.
And he may be hurt now.
So, I don't know.
The thing I want to give Philadelphia credit is, and remember at one point when Howie Roseman was having a pissy match for control with Chip Kelly, and he didn't like Chip Kelly's personnel decisions? Good move to retain one and not the other. Look who Philadelphia in the last 2 or 3 years has brought in.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley worked pretty well, I would say. Drafted Devontae Smith, pretty good. Traded for A.J. Brown, pretty good. Drafted Cooper DeJean, pretty good. Brought in Zach Brown, free agent.
Zach Brown band?
Zach Brown. Bond, excuse me.
No.
Bond, not
Zach
Brown.
Bond has been awesome.
Yes. Defensive player of the year type of candidate.
Who was kind of doing nothing before this.
Nothing. Quinyon Mitchell, the corner out of Toledo. You got Cooper DeJean and Mitchell in the same draft.
Is Mitchell going to play this week?
Didn't he
get hurt?
Yeah, but I think he's going to play.
They need him because that backup for that backup they put in?
Yeah.
Or was it Mitchell? Yeah, Mitchell got hurt.
Mitchell
right?
got hurt.
That backup sucked.
Yes. Got picked on. Jalen Carter. No, like, I mean, it just goes on and on. This has been a textbook.
Howie Roseman's good.
Roster build.
Don't you think?
Unbelievable.
I mean, he's good.
Yes.
Last but not least, the Philadelphia mayor. She is a Democratic mayor. She's a damn lib.
Thanks a lot, libs.
Her name is Sherelle Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And we've often talked here about, you know, when mayors who know nothing about their local sports teams, when they start to, all of a sudden their sports team wins and they have to get up and speak and they know nothing.
Yeah.
Like they mispronounce names and like, well, tell me what you think about this.
Oh boy.
Let me hear you all say E L G S E S Eagles.
What?
Let's go, Birds.
Let's go,
that
Birds.
That was E L G S E S Eagles.
Oh my goodness.
Eagles. Elgis.
E L?
Let me hear you all say E L G S E S Eagles. Let's go, Birds.
E L G S E S Eagles.
And everybody and people are going along with it.
There's a radio station in DC that has made shirts in commies colors that just spells out Eagles like that.
Well, what are you supposed to, I mean,
E-L-G-S-E-S.
Got caught up in the moment.
Do you hear the people in the background spelling it right?
Yeah. Got caught up in the moment, man. next time, just go with Go Birds. It's a little...
Got caught up in the moment?
You well, can't yeah, spell? You're up there and, you know, you're like, you know, it's you've probably been practicing that a little bit and, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to light the crowd on fire with this one. And next thing you know, you're taking a swinge. It happens, man.
And we spelled program, P-R-O-G-U-M.
That's swing, spelled S-W-I-N-J.
And he was reading off of like a teleprompter.
E-L-G-S-E-S.
What a mess. Thanks a lot, Fauci. All right, we got to get to the news next. Here's Buck.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
All right, nice to have you along. We're running way behind because we like to talk football. We're big sportsers here.
Sports.
Wednesdays are... We're just badass.
Let's go, Birds!
ELG Niner 47.
ELGSES!
You think she knew right away?
I kind of don't. I think it's one of those things, like you said, this happens. I don't think that's something you catch in the moment, because if you did, you'd
she'll find out about 10 minutes later and be like, oh my God, never coming back from this.
Exactly. Yeah.
It is a great shirt, though. If whoever decided to make that, well played.
The Elgses.
ELGSES.
What's the last?
Hell no.
I don't even know what one of those letters she said.
On the fourth letter, she drops the first S, and that's the one she's clearly uncertain of.
Yeah, ELGSES.
ELGSES.
Is she saying S?
Yeah.
The Elgses.
I think at the first S, she realizes she's botched the first couple.
That's
E. Oh my God!
And the bombs in the air.
Let's go,
the bombs bursting in the air. All right, it is Jan 22, 2025. Time for the news. I'm your newsman. Hello, thank you.
Ahoy!
It's brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. That spot you guys did was a mess.
Yeah, when you've been wronged by Mrs. Buckley, there's only one place to call.
But I loved it.
Helping save the neighborhood, catching strays.
Today's library shelfie day. You know what that means?
No.
That means...
A selfie in front of a library shelf?
Yep. Oh. You take a selfie in front of your books so you can prove to people that you...
For the bibliophiles out there.
You think about reading.
I was driving through the neighborhood this morning. There's a park right by my house. And it was like 8:30 in the morning. And there was a gal... teenager, you know, maybe 13-14, and she just was just in the randomly sat there, and I watched her. I was sitting there, and she just was taking selfies and like doing poses, and I was like,
she doing fish lips.
It was a whole thing. Yeah, it was like, it just was like,
Merry
why?
Christmas,
you just, I'm assuming you're walking to school at that point, and you know what, this park seems pretty crappy, might as well stop here and take 17 different selfies.
Yeah, well, hope they turned out. Yeah, hope they turned out great for her. It is also National Hot Sauce Day.
Do like a good hot sauce.
Me too.
There's a little cheesesteak place by my house, Philly Blimo's, and they have a dynamite hot sauce. Mm. And it's more like a hot, it's more liquidy. It's almost like a, I don't know, it's like a hot oil almost. But oh, I'll put that on anything. I try to steal as many as I can when I go there. I was like, hey, can you give me a couple more of those? And I just keep them in my fridge. Freaking phenomenal.
It makes me sad.
It makes me happy.
Primetime follow-up. The fake firefighters from Oregon who were posing as firefighters in L.A.
They bought a decommissioned fire truck.
Yeah. And they showed up. So at first they fooled everyone down there because they went into the, what do you call it?
The evacuation zone. And to be fair, I've never had a fire engine show up and been like, hey, are you guys legit? You just take that at face value.
Yeah, except that it's the story I read today said that one firefighter did look at them a little funny because of the decals on the fire truck.
Well, I will say that a firefighter would be able to spot that. But again, if a fire engine shows up at my house... I have not accrued a lot of authentic firefighting knowledge over my 46 years. You're probably going
to
fool me.
It was weird. I saw one photo of the truck, and it seemed like they tried to add stickers to it to make it look legit, and then by doing so, they made it look not legit. It's like, it says like Roaring River DEPT on there, and it's like, it's weird white decals on their chrome bumper. It doesn't look right.
Yeah, that's exactly what tipped them off. So,
I see it here.
Yeah, there's a picture of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the guy, so remember we said it was a couple from Oregon.
Yeah.
The dude, it turns out, served 5 years for arson in the past.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a bit of an oopsie. Maybe he's just trying to make good.
Maybe so. Because
he likes lighting fires.
He did serve his time.
Yeah.
And no, he is not linked to having lit any of the fires down there.
Don't tell Fox News that.
But they arrested these two, and they're they don't know what they were doing down there, and they have not arrested them for theft or anything, but they said that they did have stuff in the fire truck that would be consistent with tools to break into homes.
Well, that, I mean, honestly,
so that's the follow-up.
That is about as scumbaggery as you can get, but at the same time, pretty clever. Like, evacuation zone, no one's around. You show up in a fire truck, people wave you through, and then you, you know, even if you get caught in a house, you're like, oh, I'm kicking down a front door to see if there's any, you know, whatever. I can see where that's a, I can see where that plan gets hatched.
Yeah, I don't know.
No?
I guess people are getting away with looting down there a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, anytime
when you're a criminal, you look at opportunities, situations like this as opportunities. Yeah, it's just the way that it goes.
Anytime there's something that goes down, you know, as a serious thing, someone's going to try to take advantage of it.
No, I get it. I just feel like that's not, you're not getting away with that. But,
well,
and they
probably not. I just think it's comical that he's an arsonist.
Yeah. Well, it's ironic.
Yeah, ironic. Isn't it ironic?
At least five people were arrested during an anti-Trump rally.
Yeah, I saw that they were doing their own march.
Yeah, through downtown Portland. Yeah,
I saw some flyers up for that.
You do it anymore, you're going to have problems.
Police spotted vandals spray painting along the route. Hundreds during the initial rally started around 5 p.m. at the Battleship Oregon Memorial on the waterfront park there.
Yeah, some of the photos I saw, it didn't look like a lot of people. You said hundreds?
At first, and then they said by about 7. Within 2 hours, it was down to about 100 people.
Yeah, like I saw some photos of it, and it was collectively like, really, this is the march you came up with?
Everybody's kind of in the same boat as you and I now. The outrage is now just apathy and sadness.
It goes drip, drip.
Someone had a big devil Trump head sign that I saw. You know, put some effort into that, I guess. I don't know where you get a giant devil head Trump sign, but...
Well, five were arrested. Mm. And something tells me they will not be pardoned.
Probably not.
These people are crazy. There's something wrong with them.
I would like to ask people that do this sort of thing, like, what are you hoping to accomplish?
Totally.
I mean, you live in Portland. Do you think, like... Who are you? You're in Portland. Who are you trying to convince? Like, go march down in Georgia someplace. Go march in a battleground state.
Well,
you're trying to change anyone's mind.
Then you're getting a civil war.
That's true. But like, I don't know, just marching in Portland. Like, yeah, everyone agrees with you. Cool.
Your January 6th brethren in Oregon and Washington.
Yeah, they've been freed, man.
Have been freed. Roughly 1,600 people charged in connection with the January 6th attacks on the U.S. Capitol.
And some of them really violent.
They are out.
Yeah.
All pardoned.
He's just like, yeah.
Apparently, Trump just said, F it.
Yeah.
Get them all out.
Yeah, because originally they were going to take a nuanced approach, and anyone that committed acts of violence were not going to be pardoned. But then he was like,
I saw one of the people getting interviewed about it today was like, well, I'm not sure I've really seen evidence that there was violence. And the anchor goes, we're showing you the footage of the violence right now.
I also saw, too, in the pardon thing, the guy that, you know, because we're all anti-cartels, right? And the drugs and all that. It's
all
bad.
I would like to think so.
Didn't he put the cartels on the...
Yeah, the cartels are like terrorist organization now. Yeah. So whatever, man. I get it. So we're anti-drug. He pardoned the guy that was serving 80 years that created the Silk Road. Literally the biggest online trader of drugs and human trafficking.
So much for the Law and Order Party.
Like, he was doing 2 40-year sentences. And he was like, you're fine. He's like, you've been in prison
like
long
the
enough.
Biggest criminal out there across multiple types of criminality.
Why did he pardon that guy?
I don't know. He said the same thing. He said he'd been in prison long enough. He was like, it's fine. Called the guy's mom and he's like, he's getting out. Remember it was a big deal when they tracked that guy down and they finally caught the dude that was in charge of the Silk Road where you could buy anything?
Yeah. Ross Ulbricht.
San Francisco. I remember that whole thing.
Yeah, well, apparently he's fine.
But is that the whole idea of like free market type thing?
Free market? He was...
Well, isn't that... like, is there any justification for it?
No. He created the largest drug distribution center in the world.
Well, I know, but I think the idea behind him because he had backers. Like he's one of those, like, I don't want to draw like the Assange thing, yeah. And like he's one of those guys that some people believe should, I don't know, he's like a libertarian, right?
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, like it's a free market.
He's like, hey, I didn't human sex slave traffic anyone, that's nor did exactly I sell any right. drugs.
I've got the quote from Trump.
Yeah,
but I did provide a portal for everyone to do it and get away with
Trump
it.
Trump says the scum that worked to convict him were some of the same lunatics that were involved in modern-day weaponization of the government against me. After enduring over a decade of incarceration, this decision offers Ross the opportunity to begin anew, to rebuild his life, and to contribute positively to society.
Oh, my God.
Positively? You think he will? Dr. Ulbrich?
Well, again, I told myself that I'm not going to do this the next 4 years, so I'm going to not do it.
You just did it, though.
I know. I'm going to shut up. My brothers in arms are free. That's all I know, so.
Ulbrich said he just wanted to empower people to make their own choices and live their own lives with privacy and anonymity.
Yeah, see, that's it. That's the line of thinking right there.
I wanted to make sure that anyone that wanted to sell child sex slaves at a rocket launcher
or murder for hire
and
like
heroin
any of that, yeah.
were fine. What are we doing? I don't know.
Tell me more about what you think.
I can't.
Well, for somebody who hates criminals, he just released someone that allowed criminalizing everything.
He doesn't hate criminals. He's the biggest criminal out there.
I can't. I'm just going to stop.
It's a little bit confusing, isn't it?
It's been one day, and I already am going back on what I said I'm not going to do.
This is why we do drugs.
You do drugs, Danny, every day.
Then what's the problem?
The war on drugs is over. Drugs won.
All right. Well, we're burning through in the news now. Yeah. So we got a break. More next on The Fan. All right. Well, we got to go. I can tell you one more story, though.
Please.
This is in the news. I'm going to squeeze something in. So there's a band coming to town who hasn't been here in 25 years. A very big act.
Okay. Rolling
and
Stones.
They are, no, not the Rolling Stones. They are coming to play Moda Center.
The Beatles.
Sunday, April 20th. It is not the Beatles.
The Monkees.
It is not the Monkees.
Oasis.
Oh, that's actually a good guess, because aren't they touring?
Yeah, I think they're touring. I think it's just Europe.
But... Yeah, but they're not playing. No, I think they're coming to the U.S., aren't
are they?
Hey. If it lasts that long, we'll see.
Peter, well, Paul, and Mary.
They wouldn't play, Oasis wouldn't play Moda, I don't think. Yeah. No, the band coming to town.
The band.
Sunday, April 20th at Moda Center. First time in 25 years. Fish! Get out the acid.
Can I get out the acid without going to see Fish?
Probably no be a hell of a Bill Walton tribute.
That is true.
No one's going to force you to go.
Yeah, just not.
What's his nuts playing with them?
What's his nuts? No, you're thinking of
John Mayer.
John Mayer. He's playing with
the dead.
The dead. Yeah.
Which again, allow me to say, I'd rather just take the acid and not go to the concert.
I'd go see the dead with John Mayer. I would not go see Fish.
Yeah, I'm not a Fish guy. Widespread Panic, Fish,
ooh,
Dead,
Panic, love them.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're still touring or not, but if they came through, I saw them in Bend not too long ago, and they're old, yeah. But
Rob's like, why not?
I think I'd go see them again. Fish,
jam bands, it's just the. It's only so many times I can hear a 32-minute song.
It's got to be your jam.
Yeah, I'm going to like, can we wrap it up? Wrap it up. Let's go.
You prefer John Popper?
Yeah, they're a jam band, but they play like 9-minute songs. Yes, I would prefer to go see Blues Traveler. That's more of a mushroom than it is an acid sort of thing.
Yeah. They all have different drugs.
Yeah. You know, you gotta. All right. If you do go to a Blues Traveler show or any psychedelic show, look for a giant, I'm not lying, look for a giant Hispanic man with a Fu Manchu, a fedora with a tie-dye bandana around it. His name's Timu. Ask him to meet your spirit animal, and I promise you, you will have a great show. And he is at all of these concerts. My man Timu, shout out.
In the news brought to you by The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. The Hot 5-5 is next on The Fan.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.